All right, so let's pray, and then I'm gonna go down there, and we're just gonna worship. How's that sound? Sound good? Father, again, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you've brought us to this place this morning. And Lord, if we've not already, we just ask that you'll clear our minds, clear our hearts, so that we can receive what you have in store for us. And Lord, we know it'll be good because you're good. And Father, we just thank you again for the opportunity this morning to worship you in this place. And Father, as we move into our worship service, may you be honored. May you be pleased with what you hear and what you see. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I've often said I'd love to be able to come to church every Sunday morning and not have to do my job. I love it. I love it when God speaks through people, because it's just life, y'all, and it's real. And you know, it's tough to speak sometimes through the tears and the emotion. Look, I but Shannon's absolutely right. You will always, if you look properly, find a reason to give him praise. Always. The tough things often mean more to you. Something that comes easy, yeah, you'll praise him for it, but it doesn't have the same depth of meaning as when you praise him, as that song says and as the psalm says, in what? The storm. But I was going to mention this. It wasn't part of my notes, but I was going to mention this. You know, leading up to this month coming back, I didn't know what I was going to do, you know. And I'll be honest with you, I took time off. So I had to flip the switch and try my best not to be a pastor. But then when I came back a few weeks early and tried to flip the switch on, you know, it's kind of like a car sometimes that sits for a while. You know, it don't want to run. So God brought me to this series of messages on worship and praise for a reason, for a purpose. And at first I thought, well, God, I'm not going to go in there and this can't just all be about us and all be about me, and you know, and what the Spirit told me in that prayer and through that and then through scriptural study is, you're not the only one, big boy. You're not the only one that has stuff, good stuff, bad stuff, and all the stuff in between, because guess what? Everybody has life here. And he said, you preach these things because people need to understand that I am God, the God, and the only one that's worthy and deserving of praise. And if you get nothing out of being here this month in January, just know that. Just know that. And it is the small stuff. We just overlook so many things, you know, and start recognizing them. And when you begin to recognize them, and I know we're kind of off tangent a little bit, but not really. Y'all remember a story I told you about this old man that he was a Christian, and he got older in life, and as he got older, he started getting dementia, and he had health issues and all this stuff. So he had to live with his son. Well, his son wasn't a Christian, and he was a Christian. And so his son put him in a bedroom with a bathroom and all this stuff, and his son was an entertainer. He liked to have people over all the time, right? So the old man was constantly shouting and stomping and singing and playing worship songs and praising God all the time. So he went into his dad and he said, Dad, I'm having some guests over. You need to be quiet. Well, all the guests showed up, and guess what his dad did? He wasn't quiet. He praised even louder. So the son got mad, so he started taking stuff away from him, took the radio away from him, Said, well, if he can't have music, he ain't going to praise. Well, guess what? He found an article like Aaron brought me this morning in a newspaper, and he read that article, and guess what? It was about how God can have a tremendous impact in your life. So that guy had guests over again, and guess what his father did? Woo! Praise Jesus! Just shouting and beating and stomping and carrying on. So he just took more and more and more stuff. So finally, there wasn't nothing left in that room. Nothing. No books, no Bibles, no radio, nothing left in the room. Just that man and his bed and the restroom. And that was it. And he says, surely he's not going to find a way to praise. Well, he was praising anyway. And finally he asked the son, said, just give me a magazine or something to read. Well, he took him an old National Geographic from years past. He's found it laying around in the living room. Some guests come over, and it wasn't 10 minutes. His daddy started shouting and screaming again. And he went in there. Daddy, he said, I can't take it anymore. He says, what is it with you? He said, I want you to look right here in this National Geographic. It's talking about the ocean is 17 miles deep. He says, you know, the Bible says that God will take my cares, and that's how far he'll cast them, 17 miles deep at the bottom of the ocean. He said, hallelujah, praise God. Praise God all the time, no matter what, no matter what, because he's good. And I know it's tough for you guys to sit and see us hurt in our emotion, but it's part of God's healing process. So thank you for your patience and your love and your care and allowing us to do that. Not a lot of churches would allow people to do that. Not a lot of people allow people to do that. But I promise you, we are not the only one in this room that's got stuff. Again, I'm a little off script, off tangent here, but it's okay. You know, I was raised just like many of you in this just boxed in, cookie cutter, Southern Baptist way of doing things. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not belittling that in any way. That's not what I'm saying. But to just let go sometimes, just to throw your hands in the air sometimes and worship God because he's God, was not necessarily taught. It wasn't encouraged, right? But as I've gotten older and as I study the Word more, I find that God encourages us to do that. He encourages us to fall on our face and kneel down and then stand up and shout, sing a new song, raise our holy hands. All through Scripture, when you start studying, you start looking at worship, those are the things you find that God says, hey, when you worship me, do it in this manner, right? Even Old Testament time, the sacrificial system. Boy, I told somebody the other week, it might have been Randy, boy, I'm so glad for Jesus. Why? One of the reasons is we don't have to do that. You know how much work was involved in that sacrificial system? I'm just being honest with you, I'm lazy. I wouldn't have been forgiven because it would have been hard for me to do that stuff. But thank you, Jesus, that you are the Lamb. You're the sacrifice. You're the one that went to the cross as the ultimate sacrifice, so we don't have to do that stuff anymore. But you know what we do have to do, and it's in his word, is we have to acknowledge that. We have to give him honor. We have to give him glory. We have to give him thanksgiving. We have to give him praise. And so as your pastor, and we're sitting in a Baptist church, I just want to encourage you. Don't think you got to stay in that little box. If something gets a hold of you... Don't be afraid to do it. Raise your hands. Don't be afraid. In the middle of a song, guess what? This area we consider what? The altar. Don't be afraid if something's weighing heavier on your heart in the middle of a song, come to the altar if you need to. I've seen it happen many times. Guess what usually happens? The Spirit, you know, somebody gets the courage and the boldness to come to the altar, then somebody else will say, hey, well, they win. I got to go too. And God can do big and mighty things And he does, and he will, and he's. But sometimes I think he's just waiting on us to just let go. Quit holding on to whatever it is we hold on to. Or sometimes maybe you just feel like your praise isn't good enough. You ever felt like that? But can I just say this? If your praise is in the right place, coming from the right motivation, coming from the right place, then it's always good enough. Just a simple, I love you, Lord, right? Just a simple, I love you, Jesus. Just a simple, I love you, Holy Spirit, the one that we almost always forget, by the way. Because it is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? So don't leave yourself in a box. If you want to worship Him, worship Him. You want to praise Him, praise Him. And guess what? I ain't just talking about sitting right here on a Sunday morning in a church pew. Be like the man in the bedroom with his son and don't worry about what somebody else might say or think. And I don't know, jump up and stomp every once in a while and say, hallelujah! I can't do it for you. I can't make you do that. You got to have that desire. You got to want to do that. And at the end of the day, he's truly is the only one that we should give praise and honor to. We live in a world that everybody, anybody that thinks they are something, boy, they want you to give them that praise, right? But those are temporary things. He's an eternal thing. He's a gift. If you give your life to Him, guess what? You get to partake in that. Here and then later on there. You know, I mentioned this, when we give our life to Christ, it's not that we just give our life to Christ. When that happens, guess what happens to us? We become a new person. We become a new creation, right? And a new birth in Christ means a new creation here on earth, or it should, right? They start to see our actions, right? But it also means a new creation where? For eternity. Right? The old, remember we talked about this last week, is what? Ought to be put away, put to the side. So we're this new person, this new creation. And as the power of God begins to transform us from the old to the new, guess what? We better understand why He is deserving of that honor and praise. You ever thought about that? I look back on my life and I think, man, that was pretty bad, Brian. Can't believe you raised in church and knowing God the way you know God and knowing the Bible the way you know the Bible, but you still did that. That was pretty bad. You know? But the beauty and the power of God, guess what? When I gave my heart and my life to Jesus Christ, and it was this authentic, genuine thing, God don't look at that and go, that's not acceptable. He looks at that and doesn't even see it. You know why? Because it's covered by the blood of Christ. And He looks at that and He says, hey, there's my child. Look how righteous he is because of Jesus Christ. And so I got to stop again with my stinking thinking and worrying about that stuff in the past. That stuff's been forgiven, right? The only thing I got to seek forgiveness for now is the things I mess up on in the future, right? Guess what? All that's already been paid for too. Even before I even do it. Now that just blows my mind. It just blows my mind. That's just how good and how powerful and how awesome God is. You know, we mentioned Psalms. Psalm 30, verse 4 says this, sing to the Lord, O you saints, and praise His holy name. Sing to the Lord, O you saints, and praise His holy name. You remember, if you were here, I said we got to stop talking about being this sinner saved by grace. Yes, we are. There's also, when that happens, the Bible says you're what? Saint. Now a saint. Start saying, I'm a saint, thank goodness. And then praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. So this morning, we're going to finish up our series on worship. I thought that I should give you a plan to help you. So here's the plan. I got them up here, and I'm going to lay them right there. And if you decide you want to take one of those plans home with you later on, you can. But, you know, we preach through this, you know, sometimes I feel like I just get up here and say, well, the Bible says this, do this, do this, do this. And then I sit down and say, okay, I told them, God. Hopefully they'll do it. So this is just a tool. We got a resource thing on the website for reading, Bible reading plans, stuff like that. This is just something that I put on a piece of paper, okay? Just a tool to try to help you do what? Grow. Help you get closer to your Savior. And why would I want to do that? Because the closer you get to Him, guess what you'll start doing more of? Woo! Hallelujah! Praise you, Jesus! But it won't be fake. It won't be generated. It'll be authentic. And it'll be real. And is this the only method? Is this the only plan? No, this is just, as I was going through this, like, just try this. Just try it and see if it makes a difference. But I thought I'd give you this plan. And if you take this plan and you put it to heart, then guess what it's going to require on your part? Some effort, a little bit of work. Oh, and here's the word that nobody likes to hear. You got to be committed. I'm going to say it again. You got to be committed, right? And if you don't like this plan, it ain't going to hurt my feelings. Find another one that you like. The point is what? Commit to becoming what? A follower. And commit to wanting to grow. Commit to wanting to gain more knowledge. Commit to wanting to sit next to Jesus on not just on Sunday morning, by the way, but on a day-to-day, every day, every second basis. And if you put the work in, you put the effort in, and you put the commitment in, this is what I know about Him. He's faithful to do what He says He'll do. He'll teach you. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. He'll instruct you. And guess what? Before you know it, you'll say, God, look at what God did. I can't believe He did that. How awesome is that? And then you might stomp and dance and who knows what else. But to become a more worshipful person, you got to decide to commit to the task before you. So are you ready and willing to do this? That commitment to worship. And this is today's title. Not just today, but every day. Not just today, but every day. So I want to take you to a very familiar passage of Scripture. We've done this a few times, and I told you in my time praying up to this that God took me to a few places, and you're going to recognize this right off the bat. But as I read this, I want you to listen to a word, and I'm going to read it kind of fast because you've heard it many times before, but I want you to try to pick up on a word that's repeated. And I'm just going to go tell you, in my version, ESV version, it's 11 times. Okay, so I don't want you to get lost and not listen because you're trying to find it and count. But there's a word that's going to be repeated in here 11 times. I want you to see if you can pick up on what that word is. But we're going to read John chapter 15. And this is Jesus teaching about the vine, yeah, and the vine dresser. Okay, so a pretty familiar scripture. It'll be on the screen or you can turn to your Bible. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Can I repeat that? Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that, so that you will love one another. What's the word? Abide. Abide, abide, abide. It's repeated in 17 verses 11 times. When I see things like that in the Bible, I say, ding, 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 ding. Something might be important there, right? Maybe it's this concept of abiding, right? So when I read that, I thought, well, I know what that means, God. I know what that means. But can I just say this? If you want a desire to impact the world around us, okay, in a powerful kingdom way, because we can impact the world and it not be kingdom-minded, right? But if we want to do it in a kingdom manner, in a kingdom way, then we have to, I'm going to say this word because it's stronger, we must learn to abide in Christ. Is that not what he was telling the disciples right there? Now, he was using this story of the branch and the vine and the vine dresser, and it's a great story. And look, we're not going to break that down. You know why? Because I want you to go break it down yourself. Because when you break that down, you'll find some truths in there. And one of the truths in there, it says, is, hey, if you learn to abide in me, then guess what? Occasionally, you might get pruned, but not taken away. You might have a little pruning that takes place, right? Why? Because you're showing evidence that you're going to be a good producer of good fruit. So occasionally, God might say, all right, you're getting a little off track here. Let me stop you, right? And he does that, why? Because he sees that you producing good fruit, but guess what that says? Jesus says, hey, when that happens, get ready, because there's going to be even more fruit. There's going to be even greater fruit, more abundant fruit. But the opposite side of that, it says, is if you don't abide, if you don't learn to abide in Christ, what's going to happen? You're not going to really produce any fruit. And if the fruit that you do produce, if you're not abiding in Christ, guess what it's probably going to be? Rotten. Or not any good. So what does that scripture say? That God is going to do what? Cut it off. And then he uses even stronger words than that and says, I'm going to cut it off. And then what's got cut off, it's not producing fruit. Guess where it's going? Into the fire pit. Now, we could get into the salvation side of that, because that ties into that as well, right? About, hey, if you choose to abide in Christ, that means you give your life to Christ. And when you learn to abide in Christ and you do it in a proper manner, then guess what the promise of that is? You get to do what? Eat of the fruit, the good fruit, forever in eternity with him. But guess what? If you choose not to abide in Christ, you choose not to give your life to Christ, guess what? Eventually, at some point in time, boom, you'll be cut off from that opportunity and cast where? Into the fire. Whew. When I read that, it didn't seem that scary, did it? But when you think on it and you ponder on it, it can be scary. Especially if you know and you're sitting here this morning that he's not your Savior. Again, I've said this before. God's very clear. You either choose him or deny him. There's no gray area. There's no middle ground. He says later on in Revelations, you know, he don't want you to even ride the fence. He don't want you to say, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. No, he wants you to decide. I want you, Jesus. I don't want you, Jesus. As your pastor, you know what I want you to do? I want you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. So I'm going to say this. If you're here this morning and there's doubt or there's questions or you've never said yes, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? God don't want to have to come along and throw you into the fire pit. He'd rather come along and just do a little touching up every once in a while and get you ready for what's coming in glory. That's what he'd rather do. So, worship is part of the fruit that we bear, y'all. And if we want our worship to be authentic, we want our worship to be good, we want our worship to be genuine, then guess what? When I read this and I study this, I must learn how to abide in my Savior. I must learn how to enter into His place, His dwelling, right? Enter into His presence. Be there regularly, right? He tells us, guess what? I'm with you always. That's a promise. That's a truth, right? But how often do we say that to Him? Most of the time we say, I got this, God. I'm good, Jesus. I can handle this one. Far from the truth. Far from the truth. So, look back at verses 2 through 5. And I've hit on that a lot, but look at what it says, y'all. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. If it bears fruit, He prunes it so it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean, right? Already you're clean. Because of the word that I have spoken to you, look, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit, how? By itself. Can I just say something to you? You want to become a more worshipful person? Then stop trying to do everything by yourself. It's okay. It's okay to sit down and say, you know what? I'm tired, God. I'm a dummy. I've been trying to do this and fix it and take care of it. And what I should have done is just sat down a month ago and let you do your thing. Let you take care of it. Abide in me and I in you. It's fair to conclude that if our salvation is genuine and based on that said salvation, that the Spirit of God comes to dwell with us. He comes to abide with us. You know what that means for us? We got to make room for Him in our life. Many of us will say, hey, I want to be saved. And we say, okay, I'm going to be saved. But then when He shows up on the scene and you find out that, hey, wait a minute, if I'm going to be saved, I got to be a little different. You know what I'm saying? Well, we say, well, there's no room for that. There's no room for that here, God. There's no room for you in this place in my life. But if your salvation is genuine, hey, guess what you got to do? You got to make room for the Spirit of God that's coming to dwell there. You got to clean out the back bedroom and get ready to move in there and let Him have the rest of the house. You got to make room for Christ in your life. We got to make the decision to dwell and allow Him to dwell with us. So how do we do this? And again, I already mentioned this is not a cookie cutter method. And I want to give you a suggestion, a tool to help you draw close to Him, help you do what? Learn to abide in His presence. So I printed that. I put it right here. So what's first? The first thing you're going to see on there is begin your day with God. Not in this flippant way, y'all. Before you get out of bed, begin your day with God. Spend 3 to 5 minutes. Set your alarm clock 5 minutes earlier than you normally would. And some of you said, oh, I'm just not a morning person. It's tough to do it. Do it anyway. Set your alarm clock 5 minutes earlier. Spend 3 to 5 minutes with God. Do it before you get out of bed. It doesn't have to be formal. You remember that being raised in this box cutter? You know, I watched my grandfather, I watched my dad, I watched all these people through my life. And again, I'm not belittling, but you could almost predict how, like if the pastor called on a certain person to pray, how that prayer was going to be. Because they had trained themselves, well, I'm going to pray, you know, if I'm called to pray in public, I'm going to pray this way every time. And it was always this Almighty God, you know, this big speech type prayer. But are there moments and times that that's okay? Absolutely. But when you're laying on your back, the alarm clock just woke you up, and you want to speak to God for 3 to 5 minutes, He's not expecting you to get out and put your suit on and your Sunday best on and then spend 3 to 5 minutes going, Almighty God. Hey, just talk to Him. Is He your Father or not? I mean, I think sometimes we forget that. I think sometimes we just forget that, hey, we're in this relationship with him, and he just wants us to have a conversation with him. So open your eyes when the alarm clock goes off. Don't snooze it for 7 times. When it goes off, just open your eyes, take a deep breath, and just have a conversation with him. You know, God, what's today got for me? I don't know, but I know you do. Give me strength if I need it. Give me courage. You know, just, you be you in that moment. Okay? Spend 3 to 5 minutes with him. If you need to, some people say, well, I just feel like I can't pray. I can't speak to him if I'm not on my knees. Okay. Just slide out of the bed. Kneel next to the bed and pray. Talk to your father. Talk to him. Have a conversation with him. Prayer can be a powerful form of worship. There's other forms of worship. Prayer can be one of the most powerful forms of worship that you have in your life. And you know, I for one, I would say I'm not this huge prayer warrior. I know people who are. But you know, as I get older and as I grow in my faith, man, I understand. You know what? Sometimes I need my daddy, my heavenly daddy. And I just need to say some stuff to him. And I ain't expecting anything back. I just need to say it to him. I just need to put it where it needs to be put. Do that every morning, 3 to 5 minutes. Psalm 141, 1 and 2 says this, O Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Can you pray that? Because you know what that's talking about? Lord, I want my prayers to be pleasing to you. I want them to come from right here. Don't be fake. Don't generate it. Don't make it up. You know, the only person you're fooling when you do that is yourself, because he already knows. And he's looking for you to say, Daddy, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. I can't take it. That's all he's wanting. The flip side of that, you know what else he's wanting? He's wanting you to say, Daddy, you're so good. I can't believe you did that for me. That new job that you put in just right in front of me, that blessing of extra income that I had no clue I was going to get. Wait. I thought, God, that I was going to have to eat beans and taters every day for a week, but look what you've done. You've provided even more than that. Thank you, God. See, so don't focus on all the wants and needs. Give some prayer and thanksgiving mixed in there as well. What a day, what a way to start your day. What a way to start your day. Now, on this sheet, this is last, but I'm going to mention it here because it ties in. Guess what? You're going to start your day 3 to 5 minutes in prayer. Guess how you ought to end your day? In the same way. Because things are going to happen through the day. Sometimes it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And guess what you ought to do? Praise God. Mess up your son or your daughter, whatever, in the next room. Like the man in the story. Sometimes you're going to have hard days. And you might just need to have another conversation with God and say, God, today was tough. God, that hurt. But man, you were there with me. Thank you. Can you just like make tomorrow a little better? You see him say, it don't have to be formal. There's a time and a place for that. But when it's just you, and you're starting your day and you're ending your day, just talk to your father. Just have a conversation with him. So spend another 3 to 5 minutes. And hey, maybe repeat Psalm 141:1. Oh Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call you. You know what I know about God? If you ask him to listen to you, he'll take a seat. I've said this before. I don't know how he does it. Billions of people. millions of people that pray to him, and he can hear them all and filter them all and understand them all. Magnificent, holy, mighty God can do that. Now, what about the in-between part, right? The rest of the day. Remember that little verse about worshiping in spirit and truth? They go hand in hand. Both require the presence of the other. So set aside some time each day for the purpose of what? Learning. I got out of school years ago. I don't want to learn anymore. I'm a believer you're constantly learning something, whether you want to or not. If you're alert and attentive in any way, you're constantly learning something. Now, some of us look at it and say, I don't want to learn anything else. Forget that mess. But set aside some part of your day to try to learn. And start small. You know, y'all have heard that phrase, eat an elephant one bite at a time. Start small. Don't try to just jump right in there and say, preacher said I got to sit down for 3 hours and just pour into, learning more. No, start with 10 or 15 minutes. Start with something that's easy to accomplish, right? And guess what? As you grow, you get closer to him, that maybe that 15 minutes does turn into 3 hours. And then maybe that 3 hours turns into you standing up here one day doing what I'm doing because the Lord spoke to you and said, this is what I want you to do instead of being this. Wait a minute, now you're getting crazy now, right? Again, I'm encouraging you to do this because it'll help you. I don't want you to do this to check a box. I've said this before. I don't have a notepad with your name on it. And next Sunday morning when you walk in here, I'm going to say, now, Randy, did you follow the plan every day? Oh, you missed Wednesday. Start over. No, I'm not. God don't do that either. God don't do that either. I just want you to know that. Okay? If you miss a day, it's okay. It's okay. Don't do it just because you feel like you got to check a box. But do it because you want to grow. Do it because you want to discover the truth of God all by yourself. You know, we live in a world where people want to be told how to think. And there's plenty of people out there that'll do that for you. But can I just say this? Start reading the Bible and searching for the truth. Seeking the truth. And find it for yourself. Oh, wait. Forgot one thing. When you do that, the Holy Spirit will be right there with you. You're not truly by yourself. The Holy Spirit is dwelling with you in that place. But I want to share real quick a biblical truth with you. Paul reminded young Timothy of the importance of reading and studying the Scripture. Now look at this, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Now what does that mean? That's His Word. The breath of God for us to read. And then it says what? If you read it, if you study it, if you understand that it comes from God, it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now, when I read that, that's simple, isn't it? So for teaching, what is that? Something like this, right? I've said this before. I could say anything I wanted to from this pulpit and claim that it come from Scripture, truth or not truth, but if you hadn't read the Scripture and found out the truth yourself, how are you going to know which if it is or not? Right? And it don't bother me. I got broad shoulders. If I'm in error, come tell me I'm in error. I got to learn, too, because I don't know it all. I ain't even close. But it's made for teaching. Hey, guess what? If God gives you a word and you're in a situation and that comes up and you say, well, man, I was just studying that the other day. Well, maybe God kind of put that in your life because he taught you something. And now guess what he's wanting you to do? Say, hey, Carmen. Funny you mentioned that. God was showing me that the other day. Let me share something with you. You just taught. You say, well, I ain't a teacher. Well, in that moment you would be, wouldn't you? And you, what are you sharing? The truth. Sharing the Word of God. Correction. Boy, we don't like this one. Can I just say this about, I skipped one. Reproof. Reproof. What is reproof? Anybody know? Re means what? We got to do something over. Right? All right. So when we're in error, the Bible teaches us what? Oh, wait a minute. you thought this meant this, but over here in three other places it means something different. Well, what you thought it meant here is not what it meant, because these three places teach it otherwise. So this over here you need to go back and reread again, because these three places over here speak the same truth. So this has to be the same truth as well. That's just how God works. That ties in with correction. What's correction? Well, we don't like correction. Can I just be honest with you though? Reproof and correction are very important to us, especially if we're going to learn to abide in Christ. Why? That's the way God protects us, y'all. He protects our mind. He protects our heart when he reproofs us and when he corrects us. Children, we got a few sitting here. Don't be mad at mom and dad when they discipline you. They're doing it because they love you and they want you to be protected. They want you to be protected. God does the same thing with us. You say, well, I'm 51 years old. I don't need to be protected. Back up, because you do. And God does that. And then, of course, the last one is training for righteousness, right? What does that mean? God wants to teach us the right ways to do things, the right ways to speak to someone, the right way to act towards someone, right? The Bible is filled with instructions on the right ways. And it's filled also with warnings about the wrong ways. And you say, well, now, preacher, you sound like it's just all this book of rules and this book of stuff that I got to follow. Well, let me say what I said earlier. Don't see it as you got to follow it. See it as I love him, and he knows what's best for me. And if he says that I should do this instead of that, then I probably ought to do this. Not because I'm checking a box, but because he knows what's best for me. Whew. And then guess what will happen after that? Oh, thank you, God. And you're so good. Praise you. Lift your holy name. You're magnificent. You're good. All right, it's enough of that. I'm going to say this. You know, they used to say it took 21 days to make something a habit, right? Now they're saying it's about 65 days. So a little more than 2 months. You know why? Social media. Cell phones. They'll become a habit in a day or two. And when they become a habit in a day or two, they can control you and they can take over your life. Right? So they're deterring from people creating other good, healthy habits. And they're becoming a binder. So what used to be 21 days that you could make a good, healthy habit is now triple that. Technology's got its place and it's great, but be cautious of it. Be cautious of it. Allow it to speak truth to you, not all the other junk, right? But if in this thing it'll say, look, read the Word, study the Word, pray over the Word, meditate on the Word, memorize the Word, and then apply the Word. If you start tomorrow, Monday, and you read a psalm, and then you read a Proverbs, and then if you pick out one of those reading plans, and you spend 10 to 15 minutes, okay, doing that, at the end of that 62 to 65-day cycle, guess what? You would have read almost half of the psalms, and you'd gone through Proverbs twice. Just in 2 months. And then if you add your reading plan, whatever you read in that reading plan, you'll do that too. And then you can say, hey, guess what? I read this the other day. You know, there's this cool story about Ehud, and oh my goodness, that's a great story. If you never heard of it, go find it in the Old Testament. That's all I'm going to tell you. God uses this left-handed person to do something awesome. But get in the Word. Study the Word. Get familiar with the Word. And then this is the next step on there. While you read, keep a notebook or a note card nearby. And when a verse or a group of verses stand out to you, jot it down. Make a reference of it. Not just the reference, but jot the verse down. Right? The entire verse or verses. Do this every day if you'd like, but I suggest begin small and just do it on Monday. Just do it on Monday. Right? And then spend the rest of the week meditating and memorizing that verse. If you do that, how many weeks are in a year? 52. If you memorize one verse every Monday, one verse, at the end of the year, you will have memorized 52 verses. If you have 52 verses this morning, right now, memorized, raise your hand. A year from now, if you memorize a verse of Scripture, hey, start with the easy one. Jesus wept. 51 more to go. Right? But as you read and a verse stands out to you, you see a promise from God in there, write it down on Monday, and then Tuesday through Sunday, repeat it. Write it on a note card. Stick it on your refrigerator or put it wherever. Some people, like my wife, put it in their car or on their steering wheel. I'm not saying do that because that might not be safe. But if you do that, only read it when you're stopped. Okay? But why? Why do you do that? Memorization. What does the Bible say? I have what? Hidden thy word in my heart. Now that's a psalm talking about what? Taking the word of God and putting it somewhere, storing it somewhere. Memorization is key. I've always asked God why he didn't give me a good memory. I can tell you where a lot of verses are in the Bible, but to spit them out like some people, Brian Hupp, right? He didn't bless me with that. But guess what? I can get there because if I put the work in, if I put the effort in, if I put the commitment in. Jot it down. Write it down. Pray over it. Meditate over it. Memorize it. 52 verses in 1 year. When we become more obedient, then he becomes more pleased with our transformation. He will know then how much we love him. Do you think that when he looks and says, look at my child, he just memorized 52 verses in a year. Wow. He loves me. She loves me. God's pleased with that. Sees that and he says, oh, yes, yes. Jesus said in John 14:15, here's an easy one, right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Tomorrow morning, there's your verse. I'm going to help you out. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You already got two. Jesus wept and John 14:15, right? That's it. That's the process, y'all. 3 to 5 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes of reading. Write one verse down, try to memorize it through the week, and at the end of the day, pray and speak to your Father again. If you look at it on a time basis, 20 minutes. 20 minutes of your time. That's it. Simple. Pray, read, remember, pray. And then as your knowledge grows, begin looking for other ways in which you can become more faithful. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, it's important that we recognize also our moments of sin. What we're talking about is what? Becoming more worshipful, right? Can I just say this? He's going to teach us what? In the ways of righteousness. Well, when he does that, he's going to point out our ways of unrighteousness. What's the basic definition of sin? It's something that keeps us from the presence of God or separates us from God. We can't abide, y'all, if we're separated. That's just a common sense way of thinking. If the Bible says, hey, I need to abide in Christ, but then over here it says what? Because of sin, I can't do that. Because of sin, I'm separated from him. Then guess what I need to start doing? Recognizing the things that separate me from his presence. And then the Bible says I'm supposed to do what? Confess those sins. And I'm not asking you to do that publicly, but hey, you're going to be laying there talking to God for 10 minutes a day. Hey, God, guess what? I didn't do so good today. Oh, by the way, I haven't been doing so good in this area for a long time. Everybody in this room's got one of those. We got one of those. Can I just be honest with you, even your pastor? I got more than one. But I'm going to admit right now to that one. We all got at least that one. We just, ooh. Well, when you lay on your back and you're talking to God, or you're on your knees and you're talking to God, you say, God, this is the one. You know it's the one. I know it's the one now. Help me get rid of it. You know what God will do? He'll help you get rid of it. Might not be like that. It might take some time, but he'll help you get rid of it. If you're genuinely asking, and you're going to commit to whatever he tells you to do to get rid of it. Otherwise, the Bible says what? We fall short of the fullness of his glory. That's what Romans 3:23 means, by the way. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is glory, y'all. In his fullness, he's glory. And those moments where you are not in his presence are moments you don't get to experience him and his glory. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. If you desire to be closer to him and not further away from him, commitment, work, effort, even if it hurts, get pruned every once in a while. I think if they could feel it, those grapevine branches, those vine branches that Jesus was talking about, when God snips one off, they go, oh, God, that hurt. Sometimes it hurts, but it's necessary. It's beneficial. Another way we can strive to be worshipful is in our giving. And y'all know me, I don't preach about money, and I'm not going to preach about money this morning. I'm just going to say, yes, that includes your money. But what about your time? Where are you giving your time to? Where are you spending your day? Oh, how I wish I could take back some of my wasted days, some of my wasted time, and put them to where they need to be. What about your words? Ah, great article that was shared with you this morning. What about your words? How do you give of your words? Do you give of your words in an edifying way or in a destructive way? How about your work? Do you work heartily or just enough to get by? I'll be honest with you, there's been times in my life I'm like, man, I'm just tired today. I'm just going to get by. I'm just going to get by. I wish I could have those days back too. Wish I could have those days back. How about your life? How dedicated are you to things like your family, your job, your church family, your community? How dedicated are you in those areas? Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says this, whatever you do, y'all remember this? We mentioned it. Work heartily, as for the Lord and not for who? Men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Don't forget that. Apply that. You want to become more worshipful? Become a better servant. Become a better giver. Yes, that includes your money, by the way. It's his anyway. You see, how and what we give each day is directly tied to our service. Think about it. Become a better servant, it's going to take time. Become a better servant, you're going to have better words, right? Become a better servant, guess what? You're going to have better attitude. That's just how it is. It's just how it is, right? You're going to have to work harder sometimes. Maybe you're going to have to dedicate your life. I don't know. I'm going to finish up real quick. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 13 says this. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap how? Bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided where? In his heart. I've said this before. I've said this many times, and I'm talking about your time, your words, your service, all this, not just your money, but I'm also including your money here. If you're giving because somebody, you think somebody's watching, or you got to check a box, or this and that and the other out of obligation, then it's probably misguided giving. This says right here, each one must give as he has decided where? In his heart. And then it says, do it what? Not reluctantly or under compulsion, but for God loves a cheerful giver. When God lays it on your heart to give, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's a resource, whatever it is, if he lays it on your heart, hey, guess what? Do it with a smile on your face because you know he has instructed you to do it. He has instructed you to do it. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. Isn't that great? Praise you, God. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Think about that, y'all. Where's it coming from? God. If it's coming from you, it's probably not going to be good. But it's coming from God. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. Which through us will produce thanksgiving God. Read that. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. Guess what? When you decide I'm gonna be more generous than I normally am, and I'm gonna do it in a cheerful manner, then guess what God's gonna do? He's gonna give you more opportunity to be more generous at some point down the road. That just blows my mind. I ain't got nothing. My mom and dad didn't have a high school education. I was raised poor. We ain't got a lot now. We got a beautiful home and family life and stuff like that. But really, like by world standards, nothing. But man, I got God. verse 12, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. And finally, verse 13, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. Now, that's talking about supporting that church there in Corinth. But can I just say this about that? When people know that it ain't fake, that you're doing what you're doing because of your love for God, it'll mess up their world. It'll blow their mind. And you know why it does that? Because they cannot give credit anywhere else. They have to, they must absolutely look and say, God did that. God took that old wretched sinner and made him great. And he did it because of the kingdom work that he put that person in charge of, or he led him to, or he led her to. And somebody that sees that and knows that, they can't look and say, well, nah, that come from so-and-so over here. Or so-and-so. No, they got to say, only God can do that. Only God can do that. I'm done, y'all. And I said I was going to skip, but I didn't. And if you're mad because we went over, sorry. But look at me. We spent this whole month about God and who he is and what he's doing. What he's done, what he's doing, what he's planning to do. And just thinking about that, if that don't make you want to worship, whether it be on your knees, whether it be with your wallet, whether it be with your time, whether it be with a service, whether it be during a song, whether it be shouting in a bedroom somewhere, whether it be on your bed and your back with your eyes open and you just start saying, hallelujah. Just when you think about God and you think about Jesus and you think about the Holy Spirit and just how much he has done and is doing and will do. If that don't drive you to worship, then we got to have some conversations. We got to find out what it is. Why are you staying in the box? What are you holding on to that won't just let you? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We're going to play a song of invitation. And you could say, well, that really wasn't a sermon deserving of an invitation, but it really was if you were listening. Only you know where your heart is. I can look and I say, man, Jason's got a good heart, but I don't really know Jason's heart. He does, y'all. I'm just picking on. But God only knows that true heart. If you need to do business with God as this song plays, come do business with God. I'll be here if you need me. I'm just here to help. I'm just here to help. If you need to speak to Jesus, come speak to Jesus. If you need to give your life to Christ, man, let's do it today. Look. If it happens, I guarantee you, somebody will shout. Somebody will shout. As the Bible says, when it happens, there's some shouting goes on in heaven. And some singing. And hey, Baptist people, maybe even some dancing. Come do business with God if you need to. Just don't leave today the same as what you walked in here. Leave a little different in a good way. Father, we thank you again for today. Precious Lord, take our hand. Take us by the hand and lead us home. And all along the way, may we serve you well by serving others well. Help us love the way you love. Help us give the way you give. Father, we love you today. We thank you today. Jesus, we love you and we thank you today. And Holy Spirit, we trust you and we love you and we thank you today. And we pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen.